Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, May 18th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God first of all to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2, we are studying one of the most important things you can learn as a member of the royal family of God living on a planet that is ruled by a fallen angel. You need to know your enemy. And he is the enemy of every believer. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of all mankind. And he is an absolute genius. So you better learn about who and what he is and what his strategies are. Otherwise, you will be a casualty. You will crash and burn in this invisible war. We're in a war. Thing is, our enemy never sleeps. This enemy goes 24/7. So you better know your enemy, or you will be a casualty in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. First of all, happy birthday to Melissa. Today is Melissa's birthday. If you didn't bring her present today, you got tomorrow, bring it tomorrow. If you don't bring it tomorrow, bring it Sunday. And if you don't bring it and she's not here, just bring it to me and I'll take it. Happy birthday, Melissa. Are you going to the Hawaii? Philippines? But you're from the Philippines. No, but yeah, parents from the Philippines. A great place. I've never been there. Ralph LaRosa, Ralph and Cindy LaRosa, outstanding missionaries, are in the Philippines. They've been there for a long, long time. And by the way, they are great, great missionaries, functioning the way missionaries are designed to function in the Word of God. From the Philippines. And did your family speak Tagalog? Tagalog? Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a very good introduction to our class this evening. learning who and what our enemy is. How to Flourish in Dark Times by Hal Lindsey. No one is exempt from pain or discouragement. Humans have suffered these things since God removed Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. But some points in time are more difficult than others. Most of the world is now living through an especially tough period. Long ago, God told us how to flourish in dark times. His answer to our dilemma stands as a brilliant point of light, especially right now. Recently, I wrote about the rising threat of nuclear war. Unable to fix the problem, most people push that concern to the backs of their minds. But even from the background, atomic fears loom over the world thinking and cast a deep shadow across the planet. In the last few weeks, supply chain issues have gone from an inconvenience to a potential catastrophe on several fronts. Young families wonder if they will be able to get the baby formula they need, or if they can afford to buy the fuel necessary to get to work. Renters are wondering how many rate hikes before they are left homeless. Older homeowners worry that rising tax assessments portend a time when their property taxes will evict them. For the first time in a generation, Americans feel the dread of hyperinflation. They wonder how long the current rise will last and how high it will go. The city of Midland, Texas, has been experiencing a 10% inflation rate for the last 6 months. But that's good compared to the country of Turkey, where the inflation rate is 70%. Or to Argentina, where it's 55%. Inflation frightens people because most can't do anything about it. It makes them feel vulnerable. In 2018, Venezuela's inflation rate exceeded 100,000%. At that level, forget about your retirement funds. The money becomes nothing. Such thoughts often lead to despair. Then there is COVID-19. The plague appears to have passed its peak, yet for millions around the world, COVID lingers in the form of long-haul symptoms. Even medical experts don't always take such complaints as seriously as they should. While symptoms vary, almost all long haulers experience great fatigue. Imagine suffering from something you know is real, but your family and even your doctors do not understand. More despair. And human despair is the devil's playground. When I released a book that he wrote, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth, many Christians had forgotten that Satan even exists. Others saw him as a cartoon character with horns and a pitchfork. But the devil is very, very real. He is a person, and he's not alone. He and his hordes are the enemies of God and the enemy of the human race. Like all smart thieves and terrorists, they enter at points of weakness. One of their main weapons, one of their strategies, is fear. Fear, despair. The Bible tells us we are in a spiritual war. That's Ephesians 6, 10 through 16. We're in an invisible war. But that invisible war, that spiritual war, must be fought on God's turf. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't talk about it, but we are studying it. The only way you can keep from becoming a casualty in this invisible war, this spiritual war, is to put on the armor of God. The Apostle Paul teaches this in Ephesians 6:10 and following. Two separate times he gives the mandate, put on the full armor of God, because we are in a spiritual war, an invisible war. And if you don't put on the full armor of God, you will be a casualty. If Ephesians 6:10 to 16 doesn't become absolute reality, you will be a casualty in this invisible war. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22 and 23 that the fruit of the Spirit, which is the first spiritual skill of the spiritual life, is love, virtue love. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. Put on virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Joy plus H, sharing the happiness of God. That's the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ. Peace, that's reconciliation. That's the removal of barriers. Not creating barriers, but the removal of barriers. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. When you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, that is what is manifested in your life. If you are in Christ, they are His gifts to you. Gifts that Satan cannot steal unless you, from your own free will, grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit by your own bad decisions and get entrapped in His cosmic system. My prayer for you in this hour is the same as Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. He wrote, I pray that the eyes of your heart, which are the most important eyes that you have, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. The spiritual life can only be lived by divine power, the power of the Spirit of God, filling of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God, maximum metabolized doctrine in the soul. God's answer is to know Him. May all our hearts be enlightened to the breathtaking hope of His calling, the astounding riches of His glorious inheritance, and the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Well, that's a great introduction to what we're studying in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2, let's start the corrected translation. How do we get into the study of our enemy, Satan? In 2 Corinthians 2:5 through 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5, but if a certain man, and that's referring to the incestuous believer in Corinth, has caused pain and grief, first class condition, and he has, he has not caused me pain and grief, but to some degree he has caused all of you pain and grief. I say it this way in order not to be too severe. This punishment is severe enough. For such a person, which punishment was inflicted by the majority, a unanimous vote of the congregation, to have him removed from the church. So that instead you ought to treat him with grace and forgive him and comfort him, so that such a person is not swallowed up and devoured by excessive sorrow and soul pain. Because of this, I encourage you to decide for virtue love for him. For precisely this reason, I wrote 2 Corinthians. I didn't come face to face. Namely, to put you to the test, to see if you are obedient in all things. Now the one whom, the incestuous believer in Corinth, that you forgive, I also forgive. For indeed, I have already forgiven him in the past, with the result that he is now, this, his sins are a non-issue. Since I have already forgiven him, because of you, before the face of Christ, who looks down with approval. Verse 11, for the purpose that we should not be controlled and robbed by Satan, robbed of our spiritual life, becoming casualties in his cosmic system, for we know his strategies quite well. Well, some of them know it and some of them don't. Many believers today haven't got a clue as what Satan's strategies are. Satan has many strategies to keep the believer inside his cosmic system. Mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward fellow believers is keeping many believers in Corinth entrapped in the cosmic system. They cannot forgive and forget the failures of the incestuous believer who has recovered from his reversionism and his degeneracy. But no grace orientation, no virtue love brought to completion in their hearts keeps them entrapped in the cosmic system. No impersonal love for all means no forgiveness. No forgiveness means continued mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Continued entrapment in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Satan was the highest ranking of all angels before his fall. And he is currently the ruler of all fallen angels, as well as the ruler of planet Earth. He is ruling the world, ruling planet Earth. He is the most perfect and beautiful creature to come from the hand of God. He is superior in genius, beauty, personality, persuasiveness, and he is invisible. He was the chief of angels, and his name was Lucifer, son of the dawn, Isaiah 14:12. He was the most spiritual being that ever existed. And this is why, as even a fallen angel, he can transfer himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:13 and 14. Satan is his name, as the enemy of God and the enemy of all humanity. Satan is a transliteration of Satan, which means adversary or enemy. We noted, first of all, the satanic strategy is made up of deception and lies. Satan is the greatest deceiver of history. And to be such a great deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar in history. John 8:44. The MO of the believer living in the cosmic system is deception and lies. They worship and serve the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, Jesus Christ. They have become the devil's disciples. Satan never tells the truth. When Satan is the mentor of the believer in the cosmic system, that believer's MO is to lie and deceive, just like his mentor. Satan works through human beings, and he uses them through lies. Believers are deceived as easily as unbelievers by this satanic strategy. We also know that satanic strategy has certain principles of activity and power. God permits Satan to test winner believers, and he permits Satan to punish loser believers. He permits Satan to test winner believers, such as the greatest believer on the earth, Job, in Job 1, 6 through 12, and Job 2, 1 through 10. And he permitted Satan to test the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:7, the thorn in the flesh. But he also permitted Satan to punish believers, such as the incestuous Corinthian, 1 Corinthians 5:5. So Satan can, but God permits Satan to test winner believers and great suffering for blessing, and to punish loser believers. God is never unfair. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and therefore he is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair. When believers are making bad decisions to live their life in Satan's cosmic system, God permits certain evil forces to attack us as a means of punishment. However, through rebound and making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, we experience the fantastic blessings that God has for the winner believer. God must have all your attention at all times. If we do not give God our attention, God will take steps to get our attention. God's grace includes discipline to bring us back in line and to teach us lessons the hard way. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. You have two options. You can learn the easy way. Come to Bible class with positive volition and humility. Learn and believe the Word of God and live your life by it. That's the easy way. Or you can learn the hard way. Go ahead and reject what's taught. Go ahead and make bad decisions and get in Satan's cosmic system. Then God will have to teach you the hard way. Warning discipline. Intensive discipline. And if you keep going, dying discipline, the sin unto death. If you die the sin unto death, you never did learn. The incestuous believer was all the way up to the sin unto death. In fact, the Apostle Paul turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, the administration of the sin unto death. When it got to that point, he got hit over the head and hit over the head and hit over the head and hit over the head. He rebounded. Got back into fellowship with God. And by the way, he got out of the cosmic system, and his reversionism of incest, that was over. Oh, he still sinned from time to time and got back in, but he rebounded and got out. But incest, never ever a problem for him the rest of his life. He got hit over the head enough times. And he says, that's it. That's over. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm here just a short time, and I want to honor God and glorify God, and I've had enough of that. So God's grace includes discipline to bring us back in line and to teach us lessons the hard way. And that's grace. And by the way, that's God's impersonal love for all. Now, what is God? God is love. What is that? God is virtue love. And God is virtue love. In his entire plan, you see the love of God. You can start out with phase one. Phase one is salvation. God has impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind. And so, he designed Operation Grace, sending his son to go to a cross and the sins of the whole world, unlimited atonement, the whole world, were poured out on Christ and judged in Jesus Christ once and for all. God loved the world so much. What is that? That's God's impersonal love for all mankind. God is love, virtue love. It's exactly what that is. God loved the world so much, impersonal love for the whole world, that he gave his son. He designed Operation Grace, sent his son from heaven to earth, take on true humanity. Deity can't go to the cross. He had to become true humanity to go to the cross, be imputed with the sins of the world, and judge for the sins of the whole world. Impersonal love for all. Impersonal love is unconditional for all. And then personal love in phase one. That personal love is conditional. It's for the few who believe in Jesus Christ. For the few who believe in Christ. So there is God's virtue love in phase one, salvation. Impersonal love for all. Unlimited atonement, Christ dying for the sins of the whole world. Unconditional. Personal love, conditional. For the few who believe in Jesus Christ. That's phase one in the plan of God. Phase two of the plan of God. Phase two of the plan of God. God has impersonal love for all believers under logistical grace, blessing, and support. Logistical grace, blessing is for all believers. Winners, losers, babies, adolescent, matured, those living in the cosmic system, the worst believers of all time. Impersonal love for all believers under logistical grace, blessing. That's unconditional. Personal love for the few who advance to spiritual maturity and receive greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings are only given to the few who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity. Virtue love in phase two of the plan of God. Impersonal love for all believers under logistical grace blessing. Personal love for the few. Greater grace blessing for those who attain spiritual maturity. God is virtue love. Phase three. Phase three in the plan of God. Impersonal love for all believers. All believers receive a resurrection body. All believers. And there are some believers that they checked out the sin unto death. They were losers, losers, losers. They went through warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline, but they didn't lose their salvation. They will be in heaven. Everyone who believes in Christ has eternal security. Impersonal love for all believers. Every believer in Jesus Christ receives a resurrection body. You cannot lose your salvation. Personal love for the few. It's conditional. For those few who would become spiritually mature believers and season hold at the judgment seat of Christ, greater grace blessings for all eternity, for the few who reach spiritual maturity and season hold. What is that? The crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the order of the morning star. Virtue love, all throughout the plan of God. God is love, virtue love. Impersonal love for all, unconditional, personal love for the few. In phase one, for the few who believe in Christ, Phase two, for the few who reach spiritual maturity, greater grace blessing. Phase three, for the few who seize and hold until death or the rapture, and crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. God is love. God is virtue love. And Hebrews 12 verse 5, Hebrews 12 verse 6, the discipline, divine discipline, is a demonstration of God's impersonal love to all believers. Those whom the Lord loves, impersonal love for all believers, He disciplines and mastigao, skins alive with a whip. Some of you have been skinned alive with a whip. And what was that? God's impersonal love for you. So the punishment from God, Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, is from the impersonal love of God to all of you as believers. So God never changes whether He is blessing us or whether He is disciplining us. He always loves us with an infinite impersonal love for all. Where believers are concerned, it is impossible for God to do anything apart from grace, which means apart from righteousness and justice and virtue love. God often uses wicked people, reversionistic people, or even Satan himself as a means of bringing us around, such as the incestuous Corinthian. And then we just got started. Satan has a strategy to control the nations of the world. And boy, he is working overtime in the United States of America. He has a strategy to control the nations of the world. We saw a few passages, such as Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And then to add to that, Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. And he bound him for 1,000 years. While Jesus Christ ruled planet Earth in the millennial kingdom, Satan is bound in a prison in the abyss for that entire time. Satan is bound in the prison. There's going to be perfect environment. There'll be no religion. Perfect environment. Jesus Christ ruling on the earth. Perfect health. Perfect world peace. Perfect prosperity. Perfect righteousness and justice. That's Jesus Christ ruling in the millennium. And all who, because of Satan, who is the current ruler of planet Earth, is enchained in prison in the abyss. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, all during the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And threw him into the abyss and shut it, and he sealed it over him so that he should not, what? Not deceive the nations any longer. Until the 1,000 years were completed, and after these things, he must be released for a short time. And then Revelation 20, verses 7 and 8. And when the 1,000 years were completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to what? To deceive the nations, which is what he's doing right now. Deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. And the number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And then Ephesians chapter 6. And this is one of the great passages on the devil's strategies and how you can be victorious over them. Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on, command, put on the full armor of God. It goes on in your soul, not your body, your soul. So that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. If you don't put on the full armor of God, You will be a victim of the devil's strategies. For our struggle, our war is not a visible war, it's an invisible war. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not a visible war, but against ruling demons, against demons in authority, against cosmocrator demons, the ruling demons of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, because of the devil's strategies, put on, God doesn't have to repeat himself, but he does. This is very important. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of doctrine buckled around your waist. What is the armor of God? Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. That's why you find a sound Bible teaching church. There is nothing more important than what we do here five times a week. Nothing more important. You're putting on the armor of God. You're getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. You're putting on the armor of God so you're not a casualty in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. Put on the belt of doctrine. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. With the breastplate of righteousness. When you get maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, you attain spiritual maturity. Grace righteousness. This is grace righteousness. Spiritual maturity. This is fulfilling the ultimate objective. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is not running around saying, peace, peace, world peace. No. This is the gospel of reconciliation. Peace is a technical term for reconciliation. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. The faith rests life as a problem-solving device with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, Satan. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema, the communicated word of God. This is the armor of God, and this is what you have to have on in your soul if you are going to be victorious in this invisible war. Satan manipulates nations. He is the author of every world peace movement and of every communist strategy, every socialist strategy. Socialism is slavery. Better get that through your head. We have a lot of socialists in America right now. Socialism is slavery. It is evil. It is satanic. And he is the author of every world peace movement, of every communist strategy, every socialist strategy. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. In other words, they have alleged to serve to solve the problems of my people. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. And then over in Jeremiah 8, verse 11. They allege to solve the problems of my people. That's what it means when it says they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. And then over in Ezekiel 13, verse 10. because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace. So he is the author of every world peace movement, of every communist strategy, every socialist strategy, and socialism has taken over the Democratic Party in this country. He is the chief opponent of the laws of divine establishment. He seeks to break down freedom and sovereignty of any nation where establishment truth exists or evangelism and Bible Christianity is functioning. Internationalism is satanic in any form. This is globalism. This is one world government. This is religious internationalism, ecumenical religion, political internationalism, the United Nations, evil to the core. The United Nations building and the United Nations is evil to the core. I forget what movie we watched the other day. Might have been The Man of Steel. I don't know. Superman. And they had a special weapon. And they aimed it at the United States. And it destroyed a building. Guess which one they destroyed? The United Nations. I cheered. I watched that. I cheered. Yay! Got rid of the United Nations. Woo-hoo! I like this movie already. Yeah, that's good. Satan's policy is power politics, violence, tyranny, change. He attacks both law enforcement and the military. All of this that's going on now, defund the police, is the most satanic. That is pure Satan. That is Satan influencing the United States of America. We are under demonic, satanic influence in America. He attacks law enforcement, attacks the military. He is anti-law enforcement, anti-military, pro-socialism, pro-welfare state, against free enterprise. All of this is a satanic strategy to control the nations of the world. We are the client nation to God. That's the sad. It's not sad we're the client nation to God, but as a client nation to God, and we're totally under carrying out satanic strategy, that is sad. And we will come under the five cycles of national discipline. Absolutely, we will. So when it hits, just remember, we deserve everything we get. He attacks the divine institutions. He attacks marriage and the family. He promotes same-sex marriage, homosexuality, lesbianism. He attacks all the divine institutions. All of these are satanic strategies. And you can certainly see he is succeeding in the United States of America. We are a client nation to God in apostasy. Point four, religion is a part of Satan's strategy. Religion. Religion is the great, great evil. Religion, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ, entered into by faith in Him. Christianity is not a religion. There are religions all around the world. All those religions are a part of Satan's strategy. Religion is the creation of Satan's genius to counterfeit the plan of God. Isaiah 14:14. What did he say? I will make myself like the Most High God. And that's how, that is the his creation of religion all over the world. I will make myself like the Most High God. Isaiah 14:14. So, One, religion is the antithesis of Christianity. It's the antithesis of grace and truth. Religion is the antithesis of Christianity. It's the antithesis of grace and truth. Christianity is not a religion. Two, religion is man seeking to use his own merits, his own works, to gain the approbation of God. Religion is man seeking to use his own merits, his own works, to gain the approbation of God. Three, Satan is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. That's what it means when he said in Isaiah 14:14, I will make myself like the Most High God. He's the greatest counterfeiter of all time. And his strategies are made up of all kinds of counterfeits, such as a counterfeit gospel. And we have this coming up. I'm already past this point in my personal study. I know we're only in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. I'm in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and I've already done the exegesis on this, but it's coming up, so previews the coming attractions. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. He has a counterfeit gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And what is this veil? It's false gospels that Satan has. Counterfeit gospels. And he's got counterfeit gospels all over. A lot of so-called people that, they think they're believers and they're not. Because they, instead of faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works, they think salvation is faith in Christ and being baptized, faith in Christ and joining a church, faith in Christ and doing this, faith in Christ and doing that. You add one work to faith in Christ, you're not even saved. And the devil has won. He's won. He has strategies to blind, puts a veil over their mind. And I know this for a fact from when I was at Dallas Seminary in Dallas, Texas, Salad Master Corporation, headquartered in Dallas, Texas. And the vice president of Salad Master was Church of Christ. Sounds great, doesn't it? Church of Christ. Boy, they must all be saved. Church of Christ, right? Well, I was there doing my janitor work. Around midnight, the light was on in the vice president's office, and I opened the door to clean it, and he was in there. And I said, "Oh, excuse me, sir. I am totally sorry. I didn't know you were here. I was just trying to do my work." He said, No, that's all right. Come on in." And he, of course, you could look at me. He said, "Are you the new guy we hired from the seminary?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, great." And I'm doing my work. And we were kind of talking. I was on my way out. And I said, "God, I mean, I have always in my mind, there are no accidents in the plan of God. No accidents. God set this up. He had this guy be there." And I said, "You want him to hear the grace gospel." And he told me while I was in there, he says, "You're going to seminary?" "Yes, sir." "Are you preparing for the ministry?" I said, "Yes." I said, "God's given me a gift of communication to teach his word." He goes, "Oh, that's great." He says, "I am a big mucky muck in the Church of Christ. I said, on the way out, I said, do you mind if I ask you one thing? What do you have to do to get to heaven? You have to believe in Christ and be baptized. What? But if you're not, what if you're not baptized? Then you wouldn't be you saved. You have to be. So you're trusting in your work of baptism to get you into heaven. I said, do you remember when Christ was on the cross? There were two criminals, one on each side. One of those criminals believed in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He wasn't baptized. They didn't pick up the cross and dip him in the Sea of Galilee. He couldn't do anything. He was a criminal. By the way, he deserved capital punishment. And he knew he deserved capital punishment. But he believed in Jesus Christ. And he had eternal salvation. And he couldn't do any works. It's hard to do works when you're nailed to a cross. He couldn't be baptized. All he could do was believe in Jesus Christ. And I said, and that is it. Sir, if you think you're going to be in heaven because of your water baptism, you're going to be in hell forever and ever and ever because you added works to grace. And you add one work to grace, there is no grace. Grace and works are mutually exclusive. And I said, if I was you, I would spend some time in prayer and go to God the Father and say that you're believing in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation, not your work of water baptism. And then you'll be in heaven. There are no accidents in the plan of God. God wanted you to hear this, and I think He wanted you to hear it because I think the Holy Spirit will make it clear to you. And then he said, you know, I've been in the Church of Christ a long time, and they've never taught what you just taught me right now. I said, I know. But that's because that's a religion. And Christianity's not a religion. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not work. You add one work to faith in Christ, you have no salvation. That is a false gospel. And you see, Satan's got the minds of unbelievers veiled with false gospels. And even if our gospel, which is the grace gospel of salvation by grace through faith, is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Counterfeit gospel. He has counterfeit ministers. We're going to keep on going in 2 Corinthians. Lord willing, and the rapture doesn't take place, and rapture might take place before we get there. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. So he not only has counterfeit gospel, he has counterfeit ministers, he has counterfeit doctrine, 2 Timothy 4:1. 2 Timothy 4:1. Counterfeit doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom. No, I'm in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in later times, and later times is from the first advent to the second advent, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Doctrines of demons. Counterfeit doctrine. So he has a counterfeit gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Counterfeit minister, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Counterfeit doctrine, 1 Timothy 4:1. Counterfeit communion table, 1 Corinthians 10:19-21. 1 Corinthians 10:19-21. 1 Corinthians 10:19, do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons, the counterfeit communion table, 1 Corinthians 10:19-21. He has a counterfeit spirituality, Galatians 3:2-3, and I pointed out on Sunday the book of Galatians was a whole book on dealing with legalism. If you're going to understand Galatians, you've got to understand Paul is dealing with the satanic counterfeit of legalism, counterfeit spirituality, counterfeit salvation, salvation by works, spirituality by works. Galatians 3. Galatians 3 starts out in verse 1. You might have foolish Galatians. That's a very euphemistic word for stupid. You stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the works of the law? Were you saved by works? Or by believing what you heard? Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you so stupid? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain the goal of spiritual maturity by works, human works? That is counterfeit spirituality. Well, Satan's counterfeit plan of God in religion includes the counterfeit gospel, counterfeit ministers, counterfeit doctrine, counterfeit communion table, counterfeit spirituality, counterfeit righteousness, which is self-righteousness, human righteousness, based on man's human good works in the cosmic system. Matthew 19:16-28, Matthew 23:13-36. It includes a counterfeit power and dynamics, counterfeit signs and wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2:8-10. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, counterfeit signs, counterfeit wonders, and then counterfeit system of gods. In fact, the Antichrist is one of those counterfeit gods. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come. That is the day of the day of the Lord, the tribulation, will not come until the rebellion occurs. That includes apostasy. There will be great apostasy at the end of the church age before the rapture. And it also could mean departure, referring to the rapture itself. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, not proclaiming himself to be God. Counterfeit God? Yeah, the Antichrist will declare himself to be God. A counterfeit God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. Religion. A very, very important part of Satan's strategy. He has a strategy with regard to the nations of the world to deceive them. Deceive the nations of the world, to attack the laws of divine establishment, to attack the military and law enforcement, to attack marriage, the family. All of these things we see going on in our country right now. Well, this is a part of learning about our enemy. You have to know your enemy. And I am appalled at so-called doctrinal believers that don't even know their enemy. And they are victims. They have bought the devil's lie. God's plan is grace never, ever works. You never add one work to the grace of God. Never add one work. That is a false gospel. Every time. All the time. I am appalled at so-called doctrinal types that have believed the devil's lie. Salvation is by grace through faith. For by grace you're saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. You add one work to faith in Christ, you have no salvation. A veil has been put over your heart. Counterfeit gospel. Well, we'll be getting there. Two more chapters. Although the rapture could easily occur before then. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.